Our Bible reading today, Romans chapter 15. I'm reading a few verses at the beginning of the chapter, and then some verses selected from the remainder of the chapter. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor, for his good to edification. And as I was reading that prior to making this broadcast, I thought, yes, indeed, and we are being advised and encouraged to look after our elderly neighbors, to watch out for people who are less able to get out, people who are perhaps vulnerable at this time and in this period. So think about that and think about your neighbors and think about those who may need your help. So many are doing this at this very time, but here's this Bible message right now. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 13 of Romans chapter 15, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And at the end of the chapter, verse 30, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now, the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And that's the end of the Bible reading. And here is the thought for today. Confidence in days of anxiety. Let me pick out three verses in this chapter that show an emphasis that is distinctive in this part of this letter to the church at Rome. Verse 5, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. Verse 13, which is my verse for today, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. And verse 33, now the God of peace be with you all. My message today comes to you in the context of international turmoil, in days of uncertainty and in days of anxiety. And who would have imagined that in a matter of weeks, the world would experience a pandemic that would send nations into lockdown and people to panic buy throughout our towns and cities, would claim so many lives in sickness and indeed in death, and lead to so many events that are being cancelled, and even today, so many churches all across our nation that are closed and public functions that are no longer functioning during this period of restriction. My objective just now is not to give you a commentary, another commentary, on all that is happening, but I want to direct your attention to a source that is above and beyond all the uncertainty and the anxiety that we are experiencing in the people and in the nation of our day. I want to point you to a source of hope and peace today. This great verse, verse 13 of Romans chapter 15, listen to it again. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said on these words, "A glorious title of God, but till now unknown to the heathens, for their goddess Hope, like their other idols, was nothing. Her temple at Rome was burnt by lightning. It was built again, not long after, but it was again burnt to the ground." Now, when the Apostle Paul had written to the church at Rome, he would have known about ancient Rome's goddess of hope. Her name was Sheesh. Her temple was, along with many other temples, built on the triumphal route into the city of Rome. And he would have known how important she was to so many in that ancient Roman civilization. But the Apostle Paul also knew how impotent she was. He would have known about her. Sure he would. So it's not without significance that the Apostle Paul uplifts the true and living God as the God of hope over against a helpless and hopeless idol and a goddess worshipped by so many, along with God's many and Lord's many, as we read in the Bible, in all those ancient civilizations, whether it was Assyria or Babylon or whatever the background, and even Roman Empire days, people who worshipped and followed and pursued those gods and goddesses had no certainty regarding the future. But here is one who is unique and different. The God, the one living true God, and he is the God of hope. And if you know him, you are never hopeless. But if you are not his, the Apostle Paul also makes it clear in writing to the church at Ephesus that people who do not know him are without hope, having no hope and without God in the world. These believers at Rome had turned from a hopeless goddess to the God of hope. And I've got a question for you today. Which company do you belong to? Have you got an anchor that is sure and steadfast today? What a grand title the Apostle gives to us here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I love so many of our hymns because they speak of assurance and hope. And even today, as we've been playing some of these lovely old-fashioned hymns to you, they have brought to us a reassurance today. But think about this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I'm possessed of a hope that is steadfast and sure since Jesus came into my heart. Yes, we have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll, fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. These are hymns that express the certainty, the surety that we have as the children of God. And so many of you who are listening today are people who have come to know this God. And you can say with the psalmist, "This God is my God," or "This God is our God and will be forever and ever." Oh, what a glorious title, the appellation that he wears, the title that he has, the title of the God of hope. But isn't it interesting that in the chapter, the apostle also refers to him as the God of patience and consolation? In verse 5 and in verse 33, the God of peace. It must have been pressing on his mind just how special his God was and how special the Lord is to his people today and through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who has brought the Father close to us and who has made him known to us. We have remembered his word when he said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." And so that's why it's important today to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, so that we can also say, "Yes, he is to me the God of hope. My life is built on the solid foundation. It is built on the rock, and the rock is God himself, Jesus Christ." But also we find in this great verse, in verse 13 of Romans 15, "The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." I love that. What lengths people go to to find the treasures of joy and peace. But they are so elusive to a world that knows not the Savior. What prices people will pay to try to find happiness, to find peace. Two things that in our day and age, and now particularly at this time when we have got a pandemic that is right round the world, two things that are most absent and two things that are most sought for, joy and peace. People are seeking, but without lasting success. So where and when and how can the heart quest be satisfied? Well, it's right here in the verse. The apostle says, in believing. Find joy and peace in believing. And you say, well, believing what? Or believing who? Is it what I imagine? Is it something that I can build up within myself? Can I have a hope so and find in that a joy and peace? Well, the answer to that is no. It's not in our own imaginary little cocoon that we build around ourselves that we feel, yes, I've got joy and peace. No, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Bible says He is our peace. The Apostle Paul again says He made peace through the blood of His cross. He is our joy. Praise God today for the joy of God's salvation, the joy of the forgiven. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Do you know that joy? The blessedness of the free. When the Lord turned our captivity, we were like those that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them, whereof they are glad. We read those words in Psalm 126, and it's speaking of a captive people who had been set free. And praise God today, the cross of Jesus Christ, the wonderful redemptive work that he performed at Calvary's cross, was that we might have freedom, being made free from sin, being set free from fear, being released from our bondage. Yes, indeed. And again, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say, rejoice. But how do you do it? In the Lord. In the Lord. The consolation that He bestows. And when shall it be, you ask? Well, now. Did you notice that in those three key verses that I mentioned, every one of them commences with the word now? Something which is present, something which can be at this moment, just where you are, just in your home where you are, just wherever you are listening today in whatever country, just where you are, where you live. How we may have to live, restricted in our homes, or taken ill, or whatever we are going to experience, or whatever we are just now going through, right where you are, I'm going to say it again, now, the God of hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Are you a trusting soul today? Are you resting in the finished work of the cross? Are you believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, not just with a head knowledge, but with a heart experience and a heart trust? If you do so, then you can experience not just joy and peace, but an abundance of hope. Because the remaining part of the verse goes to say that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. That you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Phillips, in his paraphrased version of the New Testament, says with regard to this verse that by the power of the Holy Spirit, your whole life and outlook may be radiant with hope. What a tremendous blessing. I would call that a full salvation, because there is a free salvation for all sinners, and there is full salvation from all sin, and there is a fullness in Jesus that the world cannot give. There is a fullness in Jesus that you will not find anywhere else. I read these words recently. They are significant. There is more room in Christ, in God, in heaven, to give me rest and peace and joy than in the whole universe to disquiet, trouble, and grieve me. Let me say that again. There is more room in Christ, in God, in heaven, to give me rest and peace and joy than in the whole universe to disquiet, trouble, and grieve me. Amen to that. But the Holy Spirit alone can fill me with it. That's the last phrase of the quotation. The Holy Spirit has come in Jesus' place to make real in you and me everything that Jesus has purchased for us on Calvary's cross. He can make it real in you today. And I trust that as you have listened to this message, brief though it may be, that you will remember and reflect on these wonderful words. My question is this: is your entire life and outlook radiant with hope? Here is an overflowing measure. Here is the rich inheritance of the Spirit's unrivaled possession of our hearts as the people of God. This is surely an overflowing blessing. Care and doubting, gloom and sorrow, fear and grief are mine no more. Faith knows not of dark tomorrow, for my Savior goes before. Full salvation, full salvation, full and free forevermore.